Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for listening to CFAX, for being with us, and welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. Nice to see you on the scorcher, Michael.
Nice to see you as well. Looking forward to the long weekend.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
But from the radio booth.
Yes.
I'm working tomorrow.
you're the only one hoping for rain. Right?
That's right. Do lawyers, can you wear dress shorts when it's really hot out, like with those knee highs that they do in Bermuda?
Maybe they should implement that as part of the court dress code, but we're just happy to have been rid of the wigs here for some period of time.
Especially in a day like today, huh?
It could be worse.
They still wear them in England, right?
They do, powdered white wigs.
What's the story behind those? What do they wear them for?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's to have that contemporary, stylish look. Nothing says forward thinking like wearing a powdered white wig.
Oh, gosh. This was a zinger yesterday. Realtors, they got burned the end of self-governance.
Yes, and it wasn't a long experiment, which is worth noting. The history of that is that the Liberal government back in, I think it was 2005, shifted responsibility to the real estate profession to govern itself. So we've had an experiment with that for just over 10 years, which the government has announced now that it's going to reverse that and re-empower a real estate, the title here would be Superintendent of Real Estate. And they've posted the job posting for anyone who's interested. It looks like a deputy minister position, so it would be a $300,000 a year spot if anyone wants to be the Superintendent of Real Estate.
And wonder what your resume has to look like for that job.
Yeah, well, you might want to buff that up. It seems like it might be a good position. The other thing about that, which I smiled at when I was looking up the history of it, is this decision to move back to a model where, rather than having elected realtors make up the majority of the people on the board, which would be responsible for their discipline and making rules and this sort of thing, the principal responsibility of that will rest with this soon-to-be-hired superintendent of real estate, who will be a government employee. So that's the change. But one of the things that made me smile as I looked up the history of that is when they announced the appointment of the people on this advisory group that came up with a series of recommendations that we can talk about. The story on the government website immediately below that was a press release talking about how they were effectively eliminating red tape and regulation. So this effort in 2005 to eliminate regulation and shift that to the industry to regulate itself doesn't seem to have played out exactly the way it might have been, we might have hoped for.
Well, clearly the Premier has hopped on an issue. I mean, this was the work of Globe and Mail reporter Kathy Tomlinson, who was on the other day, as soon as the report came out. But it's an election year, so the Premier seizes on this issue of, and seemingly, the former regime said, we don't need this. They can self-regulate. Probably some lobbying on behalf of realtors to bring that about. Do you see that that's what's occurred here? Is the Premier saying, hot issue, it's going to throw a superintendent in here, rather than actually seeing a real need for it?
I think there's no doubt about that. I think they saw a potential election issue in terms of the rising cost of housing, not only in the Lower Mainland, but in the Victoria area as well. And that was combined with those stories about shadow flipping and double-ended deals and other transactions. This is the proposal. Now, this proposal, I think there's some positive elements to what they're talking about implementing. But one of the things which the advisory group that made these series of recommendations the government seems to be in favor of points out is that these regulatory changes may help deal with issues of real estate agents doing funny things like reselling contracts to get more commission without the consent of the original seller. It may address those things.
Is that not a criminal act?
Well, it would depend exactly what was done, right? Real estate agents have a obligation to act in a fiduciary way. They should be acting in a way, and most do, in a way which is with their client's best interest at heart, right? Your real estate agent should be trying to sell your house to get you as much money as possible. And if you have another agent who's helping you buy a house, they should be helping you find a good one and pay as little as possible. That would be the model. But some of the rules which have been in place permit things to go on that would undermine that. For example, one of the things we actually spoke about on the show a few months ago was this issue of real estate agents acting as dual agents, meaning they can act for both the buyer and the seller.
I went through that.
So, I mean, that would be, from a lawyer's point of view, just unheard of. It'd be like if your lawyer was acting for both you suing somebody and the person that they were suing and trying to give advice to both of you about what you ought to do. That's an impossible task.
I tried to bring in another realtor and was told that couldn't happen because I had actually gone to see the place without enlisting my own realtor.
It certainly can happen. They need to get a person to sign off on a form, but it creates really perverse incentives because you can have a circumstance where if an agent is trying to sell a house for somebody, if they sell it to somebody who doesn't have their own agent, the selling realtor can get the commission for both, that would go to both the seller and the buyer's agent, twice as much. Whereas if another person comes with an agent and makes a similar offer, the real estate agent would have every incentive to try to encourage their client to take the offer from the person where they can get both ends of the commission, mm-hmm. twice as much. And it would create an incentive.
And even if it's a lower offer.
Yes, that's right. And that's the worry, right? Or other things which seem just so obvious but have not been rules, things like prohibiting agents from acting on transactions where they've got a personal financial interest in it. That would be like your lawyer acting for you when you're suing a company owned by the lawyer, right? That's just not something which would be sensible.
Well, again, it seems like it goes beyond ethics. It seems like it there is criminality.
Well, one of the first suggestion on this list of things being recommended was that the real estate council create a comprehensive code of ethics and professional conduct, and it's remarkable that such a thing does not already exist. That would seem like job one of an organization which was going to be regulating its members in the public interest. Now, one thing I noted which is not in this list of various recommendations, and I think many of these recommendations are excellent. There's another recommendation here to prohibit this shadow flipping, not allowing agents to resell a listing without the permission of the person who originally sold it. That creates a perverse incentive for the agent to encourage somebody to sell their house for too little so that they could then go along and resell it, reassign that contract several times to pick up commissions on each go-round.
I mean, this is shocking stuff. I mean, Kathy Tomlinson should be getting some major journalism award because she broke this story, and it's just like, what? This is actually going on? And to such an extent that, the premier seized on it now. The issue, I mean.
And it should be said that most agents are going to be ethical and are going to do what they should
sure,
do. But you've
sure.
got rules that would encourage... otherwise,
I think,
right?
My realtor acted really well.
Anyways, one of the rules, one of the things not in the list of recommendations, which I think they should consider, would be adding a requirement that real estate fees be fair and reasonable, or include some limit on what they would be. And the trouble there is that the market isn't a transparent one. It's not like you would usually have a list of various fees to choose from different agents. There are sort of standard fees that are usually charged. In the legal world, the law society places limits on, for example, the amount of contingency fees, and there's a process in place for lawyers. If somebody's charging inappropriate fees, that's not ethical or appropriate, and there's a process to have fees reviewed to make sure that they're appropriate if somebody's not charging appropriate fees for the work they're doing. And that is not in the list of recommendations here. And in my judgment, those would be things that could be usefully added, which would be very much in the public interest to ensure that people are charged fairly for the work that's done for them.
Let's bring Don in. Hi, Don. Thanks for calling CFAX.
Oh, you're welcome, Pamela, and good afternoon to your guests there. A couple of things that I think should be said during the conversation is the property purchase tax. When these shadow flippers do their deed, so to speak, property purchase tax, I don't think, is paid each and every time the property flips, which is probably, you know, some of the motivation by the government, and governments continually look for a parade to jump in front of, and there's part of this that is solely political. But also, also something else that has been mentioned as of yet is that brokerage firms, like your actual real estate companies, they would be double-dipping as well, as far as I can understand, and that, I guess that's the question to your guest. Each and every time the contract is flipped, and I don't want to mention any of the companies here, but you know, I think everyone understands what I'm trying to get at. So you've got the company, and then you've got the agent working for the company, but the company itself would receive double its portion every time the contract flips as well. And I don't think that's really being accented as of yet. So I was wondering if the lawyer there could answer that one.
Thanks, Don.
Caller's absolutely correct. And the trouble is that there can be big dollars involved. Each one of these reassignments of the contract could mean another $25,000 or $30,000 in the pocket of the real estate agent for reselling it. And on one level, that's okay, I suppose, if you're able to make a bunch of money for somebody. But the problem is it creates that perverse incentive so that the agent is incentivized to list a property at lower than its market value so that they would then be able to resell it a few times before the transaction goes through, picking up the commission each and every time.
If I had been in the real estate market when this is going on, I'd be absolutely livid that I'd been played. Not just livid, but, I mean, taken for a ride. How many people are out there whose homes should have sold for higher than they did because of these practices?
That's the worry. Now, it should be said, though, that one thing that's directly pointed out in this report is that even if all of these suggestions are implemented, the authors of the report indicate it is unlikely to have any material effect on housing prices and issues of affordability. And part of the political motivation for doing this is the government can point to it and say, oh, look, prices are going up because of foreign investment or purchasing houses that are remaining unoccupied. Look, we've taken steps to try to cool that by preventing the shadow flipping or doing things to control tactics that may result in further inflation of prices. But I think it'll do very, very little to materially affect prices. What these changes, if all implemented, would do is they would help create a proper regulatory framework that would correctly incentivize agents to do what they most are already doing, which is act in the interests of their own client and not in their own financial interest.
We're going to take a break and more to come here on CFAX 1070, Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson. Stay with us.
Email talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
The Royal Museum Shop. Intriguing and unique.
Gifts, souvenirs. Make the Royal Museum Shop your destination and be pleasantly surprised. There's an ever-changing selection of clothing, jewelry, books, toys, music, from art cards to original artwork. Many items with a distinctly BC flavor. There's no admission fee and your purchase supports the Royal BC Museum.
Whatever the occasion, memories begin at the Royal Museum Shop, located main floor of the Royal BC Museum.
Hi, I'm Robin Muir. If you're acting as a power of attorney for a family member, it can be overwhelming trying to meet their income needs while developing a wealth transfer strategy to beneficiaries for the eventual estate distribution. Hatch & Muir can assist in providing a tax-efficient income to meet your loved one's needs and minimize taxes upon transfer of the assets to the next generation. Let us assist you and integrate our advice with your other professionals to build an effective plan together. Certified financial planners, online at hatchmuir.com. Hatch & Muir. We can help you.
How's your summer looking?
Fully equipped.
Oh yeah?
We're gonna fill up on scenery without filling up, thanks to the TSI engine, and listen to every single playlist on my phone with App Connect. What are you gonna do?
Book an appointment at Volkswagen.
Get fully equipped for an exceptional summer. On top of available App Connect technology, get financing from 0% for up to 84 months on the Jetta. Or get up to $4,000 bonus cash on other select models. But hurry, this offer ends on June 30th. Visit your Volkswagen dealer or vwoffers.ca for details.
This commercial is only for people who like saving money. This is Kevin Ramsey from Fair Realty's Sweet Home Victoria Real Estate Team. I'm pretty sure you'd walk across the street to save a dollar on a grocery item and drive to another car lot to save a few hundred dollars on a car. So please don't forget to interview me when it's time to sell your property. I will give you a deal that doesn't sacrifice marketing or discount the buyer's agent's commission, and my commission reduces further for quick sales. So when it's time to sell your sweet home in this hot seller's market, reach me through sweethomevictoria.com or find me in the Yellow Pages.
Excuse me, where can I find vacuums?
I think they're near patio and garden.
Can you help me pick out a Dyson?
Well, I don't really know much about vacuums.
Sound familiar? Hi, it's Wendy from All Victoria Vacuums. Think outside the big box and come straight to the experts. Nowhere else will you see the full line of Dyson vacuums and the new Dyson fans and purifiers you can control with your iPhone. All Victoria Vacuums, your source for the best Dyson products. At Hillside and Cedar Hill for 39 years.
I'm starving. Let's get a bite.
I'm in.
Somewhere new.
Sure.
You pick the place this time.
Okay. Nope, I'm drawing a blank. You pick.
I got nothing. You pick.
I think you should pick.
These two people are out of touch.
Hey!
Let's bring them back in with a reminder. The JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. A friendly place where you'll find awesome burgers, a relaxed atmosphere, and no kidding, incredible happy hour wings every day. The JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. Check it out. Corner of Government and Toronto.
In-depth talk with newsmakers and celebrities. Real Talk with Evan Solomon. Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m. on CFAX 1070. Your voice, your time. It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back, everybody. As you may already know, the province's real estate industry has lost the right to self-regulate. My guest here on Legally Speaking is Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. Lots of revelations here about what some realtors, and we have to, you know, qualify that. Certainly not everybody. This is like maybe a few bad apples, but what else have some of them been up to?
I think one of the other changes proposed is a very significant increase in the potential fines that could be levied. Previously, it's been, $10,000 or something, which would be a pittance compared to the tens of thousands of dollars in commission you might get for engaging in conduct that might be prohibited even by the existing rules.
So it won't be worth it anymore.
One would hope. One of the reasons why self-governance works, generally speaking, with lawyers and doctors, is that there is a very high bar to entry into those professions. If you want to be a doctor, you've spent probably 6 or 7 years in school studying to do that and qualifying. So the prospect of being not permitted to practice, or for a lawyer who spent the equivalent amount of time getting qualified, the prospect of being disbarred or suspended from doing it is a very significant risk and would encourage compliance. Whereas if the barriers to entry are much lower and you can qualify in a month or two for $1,000, you're not going to have the same incentives to make sure you're meticulously complying with ethical requirements.
Some listeners want to wade in here. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling CFAX.
I'm wondering now if I can sell my own home without a realtor and being able to get on MLS, because MLS apparently is tied up with the realtors in BC.
Interesting.
Well, you can certainly sell your own house, and the MLS thing is one of the reasons why there'd be a good argument for ensuring that fees charged by real estate agents are reasonable. It's like because the government has chosen to make this an area where you can't sell houses and get a commission unless you're a realtor. They've restricted who can do it, sort of like who can drive a taxi, for example, right? You need a license to do it. Without some corollary restraint on fees, you wind up with a circumstance where by controlling things like the place where most people look for listings, it makes it impractical for people to sell their own house without getting access to that.
So, but right now as it is, Paul cannot put his house on MLS.
I think there are some agents from dealings in the past who will list your house for you for a reduced commission.
To
get on the website. So you pay them a few $1,000 and they'll put your house up on the website. But if you want anyone to show your house, you would need to offer what are the sort of standard commissions. Otherwise, any agent would discourage their client from buying it because they would make no money from it.
Mm. There's another Paul that wants to speak to us. Hi, you're on CFAX.
Hi there. I'm a realtor.
I'm not going to give you my last name, but a couple of things. The last caller, actually, there was a controversy about the MLS being, well, it's actually a unit that we own, and right. We were accused of being in restraint of trade. And under our self-governance, we came to a conclusion about remedying that, which was basically you can put your house on MLS for a few hundred dollars. So yes, that's the way it is now with
okay.
that. And it was cured. The other thing I'd like to clarify is this term that the Globe and Mail reporter coined, shadow flipping. It's actually signing a contract before it completes, and it's a legitimate function. And it was brought about because what happened can happen is, let's say you buy a house and you take all the subject twos off and now you're committed to buying that house and something horrible happens and you lose your job, you lose your partner, something happens, you can't complete that sale. A lot of things go wrong. The person you're buying from might be buying another house. He's depending on the money coming from your sale. And there's a lot of litigation that takes place. And people are, it's just costly and it's horrible. So they came up with something called an assignment sale, whereas if you can find somebody to take over that sale and get you and everybody out of the mess, you can do so. Unfortunately, because of this huge market that's going on, and I don't know why it's going on, whether it's immigration or people bringing money from China or what it is, but it has, people always find a loophole and a reason to use legitimate things in the wrong way.
How do you feel as a realtor right now?
Well, I know it's really, really hard to even find listings. We've got way fewer listings on the market. It's hard to make a sale. Things are moving so fast. It's incredible. It's hard to make a living. People think it's an easy job. We get paid a lot. We do a lot of work, and there's a lot of things. There's a lot of liability. There's a lot of things go on behind the scenes. You might just see us show up, put a sign on the lawn, and that's it. But there's a lot goes on behind the scenes.
Are you happy a new superintendent of real estate is going to be appointed?
I'm not really sure that the government can handle anything that better than the private sector. There is a reason why it was taken away before. I think it's a little bit of electioneering. One thing I'd also like to add is we don't know, and I haven't heard anybody talk about how much this shadow flipping has actually gone on. I mean, we keep hearing about it and hearing about it. I've never heard anybody come up and say it's happened 10 times, 100 times, it's rampant, it's... We don't have any figures to go by to actually base any criticism on. So I'd like to hear whether it's really an issue or whether or not it's a few unfortunate people that got shut out. But
I'll try to get Kathy Tomlinson back on, and I really appreciate you calling in, Paul, because your perspective is great. And Michael, it's obviously an ethical chap here. It's pointing out that this existed for a reason, and people abusing the loophole.
Quite right. He quite rightly points out that there are very legitimate uses for that. The problem with it and the change proposed to address that is that it could go on without the permission of the seller, which is how agents could resell it without telling the seller.
Big problem there. Linda's got a quick comment. Hi, Linda. You're on CFAX.
Yes, I guess I'm introducing another thought that I haven't heard addressed, and that is the idea that the realtor should be paid like a fee for service, whatever services he provides. And what I'm finding out from my own personal experience is, although I found the buyer myself, and it was not even on the MLS
10 yet, seconds, Linda.
Yes, that they still were able to take the full commission.
Michael, possible?
Yes, the solution to that is what I've proposed, which is there should be a mechanism to ensure fees charged are reasonable. So if a real estate agent's done lots of work and worked very hard, they'd be entitled to more. And if nothing was done, less.
Thanks so much. Sorry we had to cut a few people off there. A lively conversation. And Michael's with me every Tuesday. I don't know, where were we? Thursday now.
Thursday. There it is.
It's been a wild week. Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson here on Legally Speaking. I'm Pamela McCall. Stay with us. More to come right after the news.